Now, normally the time for Fevzi Turkalp, the gadget detective, is after 12, but we've shunted him forward a bit this week because we didn't want to miss him. And, of course, from 12, it's Luton Town v Reading. So, hello there, gadget detective.
Hello, how are you?
I'm well, good to have you with us. By the way, if you want to follow Fevzi on Twitter, he's at Gadget Detective, and you can listen to his podcasts for free. Gadgetdetective.com or on Alexa, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, etc. What is the most pressing tech story of the week then?
Okay, so the UK government has set out its plans to rein in big tech. It's almost like a weekly story, this. This time it's to do with competition. There is a worry that companies like Google and Apple and Facebook are too dominant in the marketplace, that they have an unfair advantage over businesses that would like to compete, but mm-hmm. also to the detriment of consumers. So they've set up this new unit, the government set up a new unit called the Digital Markets Unit, and it's to be given powers to clamp down on what it terms as predatory practices by some firms. They haven't been very specific about exactly what these new rules are going to be. There's some hints, but it's not fully fleshed out yet. Mm-hmm. But they have said that they will have the power to fine these companies up to 10% of their global turnover if they fail to comply with the UK rules, and a further 5% of their daily turnover for each day that they continue to fail to comply, and that senior managers, this is interesting, will face civil penalties if firms fail to engage.
And that has long been a bugbear, hasn't it? That whatever, you know, anything from the gas board or whatever, or bank or anything, that they, you know, they might be sent in as an organisation, but individuals have done bad things and are never really held to account. So that's interesting.
Yeah. So if, you know, if Zuckerberg is summoned to appear before British Parliament and fails to do so under these rules, my reading is that he could be fined personally. But 10% of turnover, that's not even 10% of profit, right? So if their margin was 10%, for example, then that would be their year's profit in one go.
In other words, it's substantial. It would give them
points for thought. Yeah, because it's not a fixed fine, because the problem has been that sometimes with these fines, although they are multi-million pound fines, they're a drop in the ocean to the likes of Facebook, for example. But when it's a percentage of turnover, then it starts to hurt. I have mixed feelings about this. I think the chances of the British government getting this correct is nearly zero.
Yes, you were saying this the other week, weren't you? Because you're not their consultant. That's the problem.
No, actually, to be fair, these are very difficult problems to get right. So what you don't want to do is stifle companies. So, for example, there was a thing with Hoover, you know, and when the word Hoover was synonymous with vacuuming, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It became a verb, didn't it?
Yes.
And in the same way, Google is a verb for searching on the internet.
Yeah.
But, you know, Hoover is not the predominant force in vacuum cleaners that it used to be. And when we look at, for example, 5G technology, one of the reasons why American companies don't really have a 5G offering and all this fuss about whether we should, you know, use Chinese technology in our core systems, part of the reason for that is because the competition organizations in the United States sort of stymied a number of the companies that would have gone on and developed this, and then mm-hmm. they didn't. Similarly, Apple, I like to use an iPhone, even though it is not a cheap option, because I prefer to pay using money rather than my data and my privacy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if Apple, and the fact that they, you know, we've used this term before, walled garden, haven't we? And, you know, regulators see this as necessarily being a bad thing, where Apple, let's say, for example, controls everything around their ecosystem. And one of the examples of that is that you can't load programs onto your iPhone that aren't in the App Store, which Apple haven't approved. Now, you can say that's an anti-competitive practice. I'm delighted, because it gives me a degree of protection which I wouldn't have if I used an Android phone, because Apple are more careful about what they allow to go up there. Yes, it gives them control.
Yeah, it's interesting.
But,
yes.
The European Union is now, looks like they're going to force Apple to allow what's called sideloading, i.e. non-approved applications to be loaded either through competing app stores or you know, from websites, and there's very little protection for us.
Are you going so far as to say that this will do more harm than good then, however well-intentioned it might be?
No, I think it's a curate's egg. I think that, look, one of the things that's good in this is that they're going to give these companies what's called strategic market status. That means that they will have to report takeovers to the Competition Markets Authority before they complete, and then they get a chance to investigate them. Because one of the things that these big companies do is copy, acquire and kill. So they'll either copy the technology or they'll buy the company and kill it. Yeah, and that truly does stifle innovation, because small companies that might be doing great things with AI or data processing or whatever it is, get killed. And that technology often doesn't see the light of day, or if it does, it comes under the auspices of Facebook or Google, for example. And again, there's no chance for for companies to be competed against. It used to be the case that companies would ebb and flow. IBM gave way to Microsoft. Microsoft gave way to Google and the like. And that's not a bad thing, and we need to see that. Okay. But if these companies have reached that critical mass of being as powerful as governments and have the ability to buy up competitors and kill them, then that's bad. So
we've
that's
a
good move.
Yeah.
I approve of that. But these are very difficult problems, even to work out what you should be achieving, much less how to do it.
So what's the timescale, do you suppose, given that it's got to be right and it's very complicated and it's really quite daring because they're taking on the big boys? When would you expect to hear something with real meat in it?
I don't know, because the government, interestingly, hasn't said when these things will take effect.
I don't blame them.
I think it's some way out, because I think what's going to happen, they'll get a reality check. And I think some of these companies, because bear in mind, UK is no longer part of EU. Mm. We're not the market that we were. You know, when EU rules bite, these companies have to sit up and take notice. When the UK tries to produce these sort of fairly draconian punishments, we saw what happened with Facebook versus Australia, where Australia was trying to force Facebook to pay the news generators, the journalists that generate the news that they benefit from advertising revenue from, trying to pay them a fair wage. And what happened was Facebook cut off all news services. And actually, there's a story today from a whistleblower that alleges that Facebook deliberately did it in such a way that brought down emergency services and so forth, to increase its leverage.
Gosh, so that's an accusation at this point, just to be clear.
It is an accusation. I'm sure, Facebook will deny it. It's the claim of a whistleblower. But what I'm saying is UK may be easy pickings. They may just cut us off. And then which government will get re-elected once they're responsible for Facebook being available?
Would they dare do
it?
Did they not get an awful lot of adverse publicity because they look like a nasty bully there, though, don't you think?
Yes, but that's the problem, because there's no real competitor to Facebook, so they can get as much adverse. Zuckerberg is not a well-liked man, generally speaking. It doesn't matter. People don't stop using Facebook because of its bad practices.
No one can say I haven't tried, can they, in this discussion? We hear you loud and clear.
I'm not disagreeing with you, but what I am saying is that to answer your question, there may be some delays to this and then some watering down of these rules as the UK government butts up against these multinationals, and we will see where the balance of power lies.
Fevzi Turkout, the gadget detective, is with us, and it's time for the gadget of the week, and it's the CME. Now, do I pronounce it WIDI to
Widi,
rhyme with Wi-Fi?
Oh, no, WIDI.
That's not fair.
I'll tell you why. It's wireless MIDI, and I'll explain to you in a minute what MIDI is. So that's wireless MIDI, WIDI.
That's where a little knowledge is a dangerous thing, you see, because I thought of Wi-Fi.
Well, you got the idea. The W is wireless or Wi-Fi.
Halfway there. Anyway, the CME WIDI Master and WIDI Jack and adapters.
Okay, so let me explain. So I'll tell you a story. About 40 years ago, electronic musical instruments started to be endowed with a way of being connected to each other, irrespective of what brand they were, so that they could all work together and make sweet music together, quite literally. Because prior to that, insofar as you could connect devices, Roland would only connect to Roland and Yamaha would only connect to Yamaha, and they all had their proprietary standards. And 40 years ago, these sockets, started appearing on the backs of synthesizers, drum machines, all sorts of electronic musical instruments that were called 5-pin DIN sockets. So imagine something about the size of just a little bit smaller than a two-pence piece on the back of it, and it had five pins in it, and you'd connect them together using MIDI cables, which were these, you know, fairly clunky cables. But now the remarkable thing is 40 years later, we're still using MIDI, and it hasn't changed that much. The basic standard is still the same. We've, you know, the sockets in some cases are the same, in some cases different, but the basic standard is the same. And what gets transmitted along these MIDI cables are your performance. So if you're sitting at a keyboard, which keys you hit, when you hit them, how hard you hit them, how long you press for, how hard you press down afterwards, the aftertouch, all of these attributes that define your performance are turned into a stream of digits that then shoot out via the MIDI output of your keyboard. And that can go, for example, into a computer to record not the sound, but the performance, which means that it can then be replayed using a different. So you may have played it on a piano, and it may play back on a clavinet or a violin or what have you. Or you can use one keyboard to not only play that synthesizer, but control the second musical instrument in the background as well. So there is a way of connecting all these things together. Now, that's MIDI, Musical Instrument Digital Interface. What CME, this company CME, have come up with is something called WIDI, which is a wireless version of that. It uses Bluetooth 5 technology, which already exists in our Macs and our iPads and our Windows PCs and so forth. Mm-hmm. But our devices are dumb. There's no way of, connecting them together without, you know, buying additional hardware and having loads of cables all over the place. When you make it wireless, you get a 20-meter range, which allows you to just wirelessly connect together, let's say, your synthesizer to your computer to make that recording of your performance. At the same time, it can send the signal to a drum machine and another synthesizer. And all these devices are maybe 40 years old. Suddenly spring to life and have Bluetooth 5.
Just to let you know, need to be out in a minute and a half, Fevzy.
No problem. Just have all that capability. So what this allows you to do is do away with the cables. It's great. By the way, the products are WIDI Master and WIDI Jack. They do very similar things. You can do away with the cables. And also, let's say someone wants to perform live on stage and they have one of these, you know, these keyboards they strap over the shoulder and do that. Well, the problem with those is you have to have leads on them. But now you don't, because they can be powered from batteries and send the data via wireless MIDI to the synthesizers that they're actually playing. So live performance suddenly becomes a lot more fun, and you can connect up devices all over the house or even over the internet and play musical instruments on the other side of the world if you want to. These is called the WIDI Master, list price £45, Amazon currently about £33, WIDI Jack currently about £43 each. Website cme-pro.com, both get 4.5 stars out of 5.
And for those who don't know, that's a really good rating from our Fevzy, because he will never give a 5-star review on the logic that there's always something you could do better or it could be cheaper. Yes. But I'm guessing that wonderful price actually is partly why it's 4.5, isn't it?
No, not because of the price, just because the price of these things pales into insignificance compared to the price of the devices that you're connecting, and also the fact that cables are not cheap. And you need a MIDI in and a MIDI out cable to connect to your devices
wrong.
Anyway.
Thank you.
No, it's quite right. I had a nightmare the other day. I actually dreamt I'd given something 5 stars, and I woke up in a cold sweat.
Oh, you poor thing. We shall talk in 7 days' time. Thank you.